Jesus speaking here. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish.
Thank you very much, Phil, and let me add my welcome. As Phil mentioned, my name's Hugh. I work for a law firm called Sackers. We're not employment lawyers, ha ha ha. That'd be a bad name for an employment law firm. We're pension lawyers, and we're normally on Gresham Street, but actually our office is being refurbished at the moment, so I've had to trek all the way over from just on Bishopsgate, because we've got a temporary office on Bishopsgate. But it's an absolute pleasure to have made the trek, and it's good to be with you today. It'd be very helpful to me if you could keep the passage open and also the outline that you should have on the sheets in front of you. I want to start by asking a question, which is, do you consider yourself a keen Christian? Maybe you're involved in helping lead Bible studies. Maybe you're involved in various other ministries in your church. Maybe you help to lead on a Christian camp. All of those, by the way, are really great things to do. But can I ask another question, which is, how do you feel about that's what you do? Are you happy about it? Dare I say, is there a danger that it might become a bit of a source of pride to you as you compare yourselves with other Christians, other brothers or sisters? Well, if so, and I look at my heart, I consider myself a keen Christian, there's definitely that danger with me. Jesus has a challenge for us, which is that's all very well. It's all very well to be involved in those things. They're good things to do. But how do you regard individual other Christians? Or to use the language that Jesus uses in these verses, how do you treat Jesus' little ones? Do you treat them with dignity and care? How does your church look after them? Or are you tempted to sort of look down on them or have a bit of one-upmanship, especially if they're not quite like you? And if one of them goes missing, is that just a case of sort of collateral damage? You can't expect to hold on to everyone. As long as most people stay, then that's fine. Well, if that is the attitude that we're tempted to have towards other believers, then there is a warning for us in this passage, because Jesus, or God, Jesus says in these passages, he cares about individuals. Just have a look at verse 14 that Phil read for us just now. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Oh, we might be meeting budget, we might have packed services on a Sunday, ministry programs full, but how's that one person doing? Are they doing okay, or are they in danger of actually slipping away, or to use the language here, of going astray as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we looking out for that one person? So in these verses, this is Jesus talking. It's a passage written primarily to Christians, although as we'll see, it's good for any who are here who are not yet following the Lord Jesus, as you listen in to what being a Christian is like, and it's great to have you with us. And it's about how we treat the little ones. That's the language that Jesus uses. So verse 10, you see there, Jesus says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones." And then verse 14, as we've seen, "So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." And we know who the little ones are from a little bit earlier in the chapter. So verse 6, Jesus says, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin." So the little ones are the ones who believe in Jesus, brothers and sisters in Christ, people who we sit next to in the pew on a Sunday or whatever, or those who are in our workplace Christian groups may be. So I think it's other Christians, but I think particularly it's other Christians who are less impressive in one sense, or less impressive in the world's eyes than others. This whole section in Matthew's Gospel has started with the disciples asking a giveaway question. It gives away their pride. They asked in verse 1, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?'" There's a bit of jostling for position going on. Who's the best speaker? Who's the best musician? Who's the best at inviting somebody to the lunchtime talks? Who's the one people say, "Oh, that person, they've really got a lot to offer. They're one to watch for the future." But Jesus completely undermines their thinking by telling them, if we look on in this chapter, that they need to be like a child. So verse 4, "Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." The thing about children is they don't have a lot to contribute, do they? Besides being cute or not, depending on the child in question. And I think that frames this whole section. The little ones Jesus speaks about are like these little children who don't have a lot to offer. They're a bit less impressive in the world's eyes. How are we going to act towards them? How are we going to treat them? Well, this passage gives us one thing to do and, one thing not to do, and then two things to do. Let me get that the right way around. So firstly, what we're not to do. But just before we kick off, I just want to sort of say, if you're here and maybe you feel like you're one of the less impressive people as a Christian, maybe you feel like you're just a bit wobbly at the moment. Well, I think this passage has got something to say to us as well, that Jesus cares very, very deeply for us. He's not interested in what's impressive in the world's eyes. And then if you're here and you're not yet a believer in Jesus, then again this passage has something to say to you as you look on, as it were, and see just how precious Jesus' the little ones are to God. And I'd suggest you might want to become one of them yourselves, because it's a very lovely thing. It's a very wonderful thing to be one of God's little ones. Okay, without further ado, let's kick off. So, as I said, one thing not to do, and then two things to do. So verse 10, sentence in verse 10, what aren't we to do towards Jesus' little ones? Well, we're not to look down on them. So see to it that you do not despise one of these little ones. Don't look down on them. They have dignity. Now, I'm a solicitor, as I've said. It's quite a competitive profession. It's the kind of atmosphere where if somebody feels they're better than others, then maybe they're cleverer, maybe they're billing more than some of their colleagues, then it's tempting for them to look good, look down on other people. Well, that sort of sharp-elbowed competitive attitude, it's ugly enough in the workplace, but in church, in Christian circles, it is completely inappropriate. Jesus says we're not to despise one of these little ones, other Christians. We mustn't look down on them. And what's the reason given? Well, look at the second half of verse 10. "For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Now, what on earth does that mean? Well, it would be possible to take up my entire allotted time exploring that question. It is actually quite interesting. And I'm happy to talk to you later about it if you like. But I think just by way of brief tangent, what we can say is, angels definitely exist, according to Jesus. The Bible insists on that here and in other places. Angels are supernatural beings created by God. We shouldn't be embarrassed about that. I guess it's tempting to be in our materialistic age, but actually, having said that, I think there's possibly greater openness than there was a few years ago to the reality of the supernatural. After all, if God is a supernatural God, then why can't there be supernatural created beings like angels? So firstly, they exist. Secondly, angels' role is to serve and protect Christians. Just one reference for there you might want to write down and look at later is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, where we're told that the role of angels is to serve and protect other Christians. And then thirdly, Jesus says here that these angels are beings in heaven before God. They're in heaven before God. You see that? It says, I tell you that in heaven, the angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. And the point Jesus is making is that in some sense, these angels are, if you like, reminding God of the existence of the human beings, men and women, Christians, who they're there to serve and protect. Maybe it's a little bit like guardian angels. The Bible's not super clear on that point, but that's the general idea. And Jesus's basic point is, if these angels are before God, that's pretty important. That's a pretty amazing place to be in front of God's face, seeing God's face to face. Well, if the angel whose job it is to serve and protect me is before God, then that must mean I'm pretty important as well. I am valuable to God. I have dignity. And the same is true of my Christian brothers and sisters, even those who don't look outwardly very impressive. So the socially awkward guy at church who's a bit difficult to talk to, or the time-consuming, emotionally needy person, or the person with a complex background, or the person from a completely different culture who attends my church or my Christian group, or the suffering, uneducated Christian overseas, the Pakistani brick kiln worker, for example. These people are all precious to God. They all have angels, if you like, before God in heaven, who are serving and protecting them. Well, maybe you feel, so I'm not to look down on them. They have dignity before God. Or maybe you feel like you are one of these unimpressive people. As I say, well, you are precious to God too. You have an angel in heaven, if you like, before God's face, serving and protecting you. So that's what I'm not to do. I'm not to look down on other brothers and sisters. So what am I to do? Well, secondly, do go looking for them so they aren't lost. Do go looking for them so they aren't lost. Just have a look at verse 12. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? So we can picture the scene. There's a shepherd on the hills with a flock of 100 sheep, but one day he realizes that one of them is missing. So let's call the sheep Simon. Simon the sheep, he's gone astray. He's walked off. Well, what does the shepherd do? Does he say, oh, well, I've still got 99. 1% isn't a bad attrition rate for sheep, so I'll focus on looking after the 99. Well, no, of course not. If he's a half-decent shepherd, he'll go off and look for Simon, who's wandered off and gone astray and maybe is in danger of falling off a cliff or something. Well, it's the same for us with Christian brothers and sisters. I'm at church and I realize that my friend Billy from my small group Bible study hasn't been around for a few weeks. Well, maybe he's on holiday. Okay, that's allowed. Maybe he's having some family crisis of some kind. Okay, that's allowed as well. Or maybe he's gone astray, or he's going astray. By which I mean, maybe his lack of attendance at church belies a deeper problem in his heart. Maybe he's caught in sin of some kind. It may be that his heart is starting to be drawn away from the Lord Jesus to something or someone else. It could be anything. It could be money, career, relationship, a hobby, whatever. Those are all good things. But if they're replacing the Lord Jesus as the first thing in his heart, then there's a problem. Now, I'm not saying that's necessarily the case. I'm certainly not saying we should stand in judgment over Billy in that situation. But we do owe it to him to check that he's doing okay. See if he's going astray. So maybe I'll drop him a text or get in touch with him, meet up with him for a coffee, whatever. It is worth it. It's worth spending the time doing that. He's one of God's little ones for whom Jesus died. He cares for him very much. A precious Christian. And God does not want him to perish. So I should look out for him. There is a reason why bishops have, I think they're called croziers, which is the staff, the big thing that looks like a very tall walking stick with a loop at the end. It's designed to look like a shepherd's crook. And the idea is that part of the role of somebody in Christian ministry is to hoik sheep using the staff, using the crozier, to bring them back into line. That's part of our job as those involved in Christian ministry of one kind or another. Maybe by reminding them of the great truths of the gospel so that they keep believing them and keep trusting Jesus, keep putting Jesus first in their lives. Or similarly, it could be another member of our workplace Christian group. I've actually made a mental note that somebody who stopped coming to my midweek Christian group, who previously came, and I just want to check she's doing okay spiritually. I don't know. She may be doing fine. But I'm not judging her, but I just want to check she's doing okay. She's one of Jesus' little ones, and I want to make sure she's doing all right. Or another example, there's a guy who stopped coming to my church during the COVID pandemic. I don't know about whether that happened at your churches. It happened in ours. A few people stopped coming. I just want to check he's doing okay. So please do ask me in a week or two whether I've successfully got in touch with him to check he's doing all right. He's one of God's precious ones, precious little ones, and I should make sure I'm looking after him. Because, verse 14, God does not want any of these little ones to perish, and so nor should I. I should follow them up. Especially, God doesn't want any of them to perish eternally, which they will perish eternally if they don't persevere in the faith. We need to keep going as Christians, and so we need the encouragement of each other and the strengthening of each other to keep on track. Actually, it might involve a little bit more than just dropping a text or meeting up with them briefly. God really cares about these little ones. And I think the implication is that we should go to some length to look after his sheep. Time is precious here in London, isn't it? Well, I wonder, would we spend a precious evening or a Saturday or a lunchtime checking in on them? It is worth doing that because they're one of Jesus' little ones, a precious child of God. How tragic not to care for them as God does. And just to mention, as I've said, it may be there's someone here today who's conscious that they are actually in danger of going astray. They're in danger of going off the boil a bit as Christians. Their heart has just been caught up with something else and it's becoming a little bit more attractive than Jesus. Well, can I just say two things if that is true of you? Firstly, don't resent it when somebody follows up to see how you're doing. Actually, they're being very kind if they do that. They're following Jesus' instructions here in this verse. So don't get defensive, if you like, when somebody gets in on your case like that. Actually, it's a very, very kind thing to do to make sure you're keeping trusting in Jesus. But also, don't wait for another Christian to get in touch. There is a good shepherd, a great shepherd, who looks after each of us, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and he goes searching for his lost sheep. And he goes to great lengths to do so. Actually, he went to the lengths of giving his own life for us. I wonder whether you can hear the voice of the Good Shepherd searching for you now. One of the main ways Jesus does that is through his word. As Jesus says, this is another cross reference to you, John chapter 10, verse 27. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me." So if that's you, and you're one of Jesus' sheep, well, will you hear his voice calling you back to follow him? Don't go astray. You're much better off keeping following him. As Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Jesus is the good shepherd who provides eternal life for his sheep. So, firstly, don't despise other Christians. Don't look down on them. They have dignity. Secondly, do go after looking for them so that they don't get lost. And then thirdly, rejoice when they come back. Rejoice when they come back. And this is verse 13. "If he finds it, truly, I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. When a wandering sheep does come back, the response is simply joy. And I think there are three implications of this for us. Firstly, there is a joy in pastoral care, in caring for individuals. Yes, Christian ministry, whether we're doing it professionally or as volunteers in our churches, it's costly and it can be heartbreaking at times. But when we care for somebody who does well spiritually, maybe they're, from these verses, if there's someone who's on the brink of going the wrong way, but in God's kindness, they're brought back to trusting in Jesus and putting him first in their lives. Well, there's a deep joy that comes with that. So if you're not involved with that kind of Christian ministry, could I encourage you to do so? You won't regret it. Secondly, if you can hear, if you are in danger of going astray and you can hear the voice of the great shepherd Jesus calling you back, well, please don't let shame or guilt prevent you from doing so. Because when you come back, he's not waiting there with his arms folded, ready to tick you off or give you a good scolding and sort of reluctantly, grudgingly have you back. No, he is delighted to do so. He will be overjoyed. He's like the father in the parable of the prodigal son, overjoyed to have his child return. So come back to him. There'll be much rejoicing in heaven, and there'll also be much rejoicing amongst your Christian brothers and sisters who have been on your case. And then thirdly, if you're here and you're not yet following the Lord Jesus, is this not a beautiful picture of a God who cares tenderly for his sheep? Don't you want to be one of his little ones who he cares for in that way? Can I encourage you, do put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ if you haven't yet. You will not regret it. It is a matter of great joy. So, as we close, what we're not to do, look down on other Christians. They have dignity. What are we to do? We're to go looking for them so they aren't lost, and we're to rejoice when they come back. Shall I close us in prayer and then we can keep talking? Heavenly Father, we praise you that every one of these little ones, Christian brothers and sisters, is precious to you. Thank you that you care for each one and you don't want anyone to perish. And you rejoice that those who are wandering off come back. Please would you help us to have the same attitude? Would we go looking for those who are going astray or struggling in whatever way so that none would perish? And if we're feeling like we are the weak, unimpressive ones, would this be an encouragement to us that we're precious to you? And would we hear the voice of the Lord Jesus, the shepherd, the good shepherd, and joyfully come back to him? And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.